telling a story to my family once in a while to keep track of it. They're not written book, you know. They're not written in your paper. No. I don't read, I don't write, and I just keep them in there. So I won't forget it.
Let's carry on and finish telling me the story of the men are behind the scarecrow figures, the scare figures.
Yeah.
And then they're hiding behind those, and the caribou are running into the lake or the river.
Yeah, shove them into the river, into mm-hmm. the men, drive them behind them. Mm-hmm. And then the caribou went to the other way, and they see the man sitting down there, and went to the other way, and see another several people sitting down there. They were coming right so between them, and so they're just swinging there, just running toward the lakes, and then jump into the lakes and start swim across the big lake.
Yeah.
And then hundreds wait behind a little bluff or something, you know, with their kayak.
Oh, yes.
With a spear. And then they just shove off as long as the caribou start the swimming right away. And then they come right to the caribou herd, the big herd, they're swimming in there. And then one kayak shove himself between the caribou swimmers. Just pull the caribous in there, and then he's stuck in there. He's trying to stuck in there himself between the caribou swimmers. They don't come in out. They just swimming real tight. And then he don't use a paddle. He just
uses a spear.
Long shaft spear. Spear at the outside. He don't bother it. Which they are right by in the kayak swimmers, you know. They hold him. And then just a spear it over here and over here, and a long, long shaft, kill them, and then went off, they're left behind. Caribou's coming together again, and that's the way they will hunt, just a spear it.
I see.
And until they all gone.
I see. As many as they could kill then.
Yeah. They're lying to the swimming caribous, they hold him right there real tight, so he don't use battle. He just a spear it. The other over here, other side where swimmers are right there, right by, you know. That's the way they do.
My, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions?
I'm just listening. I find that most of them are answered if I wait long enough.
Yes. Oh, you explain things very well. Well, tell me then about the stories your father told you.
Hmm?
What about some of the stories your father told you that you remember to tell your children and your grandchildren?
He told me stories sometime in the old days, you know. Yeah. People don't come back from a trip up to the mountain. I know where they are, the mountain up there, this side of the Noitak, about 25 miles, I guess. There's the mountain up there. People call it, people cannot look up on the top. People go on top, everyone, they don't come back.
Hmm.
From long time till my father grown up. My dad, he telling me a story. Say something like that, son, when you grown up, I tell you, you're not a mountain. Alat Kanayak, they call it. That means nobody look on top. People didn't come back, not each, not one of them. Each one get up on top of that mountain, he don't come back.
I wonder why.
People never know why. People
Isn't
never know
strange?
Why. Each one, the people want to look why, what reason, people never come back. What makes it not to come back? Maybe they die, or maybe some kind of unusual big animals that kill him up there, up on top of the mountain.
But they never found out why.
No.
They never found out why. They just don't come back.
Only Angatkok people. I know. My dad tell me about it. Even nobody sleep down near ankle of that mountain. Hundreds sleep down there the bottom of that mountain.
This is near Kivalina? Did you say near near Noatak?
Near the Noatak, straight up almost from Colville.
I see. Yeah. Up above there, between the Noatak and the Colville River come together at the top, sort of. Mm-hmm. And I thought there was a trail over there.
Yeah.
I thought that was an old...
I can show you the map if I got a map.
No, there. I've seen it on the map. Yeah. I thought that was a portage.
Yeah.
I thought that that was a trail. I thought that was where traders went. I thought they went up the Noatak River and over that pass and down the Colville as a trade route. Did they ever go that way for a trade route? Up the Noatak and over the mountain and down the Colville?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do.
I see. But the mountain, you don't go look on top of the mountain.
No.
I see.
Nobody knows yet. Till today, nobody knows.
Gee.
I know.
Very interesting. I never heard about that before.
I knew that story since I was a small kid from my dad.
Yes.
My dad taught me when you're growing up, don't go in that mountain to climb on top. You will not come back like two people long ago. A man went up on top, they not come back.
Hmm. What other stories did your father tell you?
Oh, they are not cook. They come back to them.
Yeah?
Yeah. One was the name of great Angatkuk, a man from Noatak. His name Tiusiak. And he take two men. They were hunting in the lakes down there, right near the mountain. We call it that place. I was landing there three, four times in that lake with their flute playing. We're stretching in the summer.
Is that so?
Yeah. And the other lakes over here, it's a long mountain like that. It's the lakes over here. Another big lakes right there, we call it Tupichelik in Eskimo.
Oh, yes?
Yeah. And we call it the other one, Nazarbar Rock. And you can see it in the map, a scientific... Scientific map, when you look at it, the lakes had a name. One of them named Phoenix Lake, where I was landing in there three times of each with the scientists' help, you know.
Yes?
Yeah, stretching in there in the lakes, pick up some with the trench, bugs or something, mice, trying to look for mice. Scientists, you know.
I see. Yeah. The mice.
Mice.
You were gathering the little animals.
Little and real little tiny animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like almost looked like a shrimp.
Oh.
Yeah. We found few in Alaska. All over. We travel all over in summertime with a flute plane. 180 flute plane. All three of us fly, one pilot and scientist. Her name was Charlotte Holmquist. She's from Swedish.
Yes.
And she came here 4 years to Barrow. And then I help him each time when he come.
You said they look like shrimp.
They almost look like a shrimp when I look at it, but they're real small.
But they live in, do they live in the water?
Yeah.
Gosh,
they live
I
in the water.
That's not... What did you call them?
Mishas. Maisha.
Maisha.
Yeah, Maisha. That's what they call it at the scientist.
At the lab.
Home quest.
Gosh, you know what this
Maisha.
Is?
Maisha.
I don't know that word. Sounds like a crayfish or a crawfish.
Yeah,
she told me they were in a book.
Yeah.
But nobody knows in Alaska. That's why she come from a Swedish all the way to Barrow. Look for it.
Is that right?
We got about 28 lakes we checked.
You did?
Yeah, every summer.
For goodness sakes.
Yeah.
But there, that's where you grew up there.
Yeah.
You were raised in that same area.
Yeah.
So you could really help them.
Yeah, we start stretching whenever the ice go on in the lakes, you know, right here. Around near the Barrow or maybe near the mountain up there and the Killick River and so on the Tuk River and Kuparuk and Noatak, Colville, and Peninsula, way down south of Katipu, And we down the Silvic, near the Silvic River in the lakes, you know, we were dressing all over. And down Sismarath, near the Sismarath, and Nome, Calvert, we were dressing down there sometime in the lagoon too, you know.
What kind of equipment did you use?
We used a dredge, long dredge with a bottle in the end, on the tip. Long.
It was a suction thing.
A net, you know, real fine net. You can't, just like a mosquito net, but finer than a mosquito net, made out of a special for dredging.
I see.
It was a plankton.
Huh?
It was a plankton net.
Yeah. And a tiny bottle right in the end. So, when it got to dredge a fill, I was mostly cleaning him up down there. I was standing down the flute in the lake, you know, wash him up, and pour that bottle into the net and wash him again until it gets clear. And I give it to that Charlotte. She
yes.
Take it off and remove it, all thing in there to other bottle.
I bet that was fun. You really got around with it.
Oh, boy, for 4 years.
Yeah.
4 summers.
My husband is a pilot for Interior. I think you know my husband.
Yeah.
My husband is Bob Jacobs. Did you?
Yeah. One time we went up to the Inuvik, Canada.
Yes.
We placed right there, and then we flew from Inuvik east of Mackenzie, way down. 2 summers we went up to the Canada.
You did?
Yeah. From Inuvik we flew all over.
Oh, you really got around.
Well, we found something interesting stuff in there, you know, the lady was found something interesting.
Yes, sure.
The bugs, any kind, but she mostly looked for the mice. She bottled all kind of a bug from the lakes, different lakes, you know. We cleaned them up.
They made a bit of a scientist of you, too, I think.
Oh, well.
Oh, yes, you enjoyed doing that.
Yeah, I enjoyed very much.
Oh, I think that's fascinating.
You see a lot of country.
Sure.
Yeah. We up in the mountain, we were in the lakes, the big lakes, as we were fishing in there between the battles and Anaktuvuk Pass.
Mm-hmm.
And then down toward the Noatak, across the Noatak, and going down to Kotchapu. We start to fly from the Kotchapu every day in different way, you know, down the peninsula and Sismarath, Calvert, and Silavik, and Kopuk, and anywhere. According to the map, the mark which the lake she got to go, see? She
sure.
Knew where to go.
Yes.
She were navigating from the behind the pilot. And both of them, they got the map, you know. They knew which lake they got to go.
Well, I suppose you had a lot of knowledge to help them from your early day experience.
Oh, yeah.
Growing up in there.
Yeah, some, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you knew the country, you knew the land.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
yeah. Sort of thing.
Yeah, I know all over the country. Yes, I learned more from the flying.
Yes, uh-huh. Did you ever see what was on top of that mountain from the air?
No. No. I told the pilot, can we fly higher? Yeah, so we can see something on top. Any Angatkuk story I hear, there's a lake in there on top. Angatkuk see it. But when they see the water, just before they see the water, the lake down here got a cliff all around up on the top, according to Angatkuk story, which they see it. The lakes themselves, just like a mirror. You can see it, the water. Then you went down. You lose your conscience right away.
Isn't that a strange story?
That's what the Anatkuk say.
That's what they
yeah.
say.
I was started telling you about the Tiwsiach. He's a great, great Anatkuk from Hotak.
Yes. Yeah, we didn't finish that.
And then he took two men from one of the lakes down there, caribou hunting, several people. He took two men. He asking men, if a man come with me, I would see that the story, always people in story never come back. I would see that what happened. so people know it. When I come back, people never come back. Each one day when they went up there before. So, well, one of my men say his name Ilakrak. He's from also not that. One of them, the name I forget it. There are three men. Tiusiak and Ilakrak and the other one, forget the name. So, okay, let's go. They went up on top. And then when they get up on top, they see the lakes. They see the lakes down there on top the mountain. They see the man down there holding the whale, live whale, in the lake. They watch him a little bit for a little while. They start to get sick, real sick. And then they turn back. One of them went down, dead right away. And then Ilakrak and Tiusiak, they start to turn back because something maybe helped a little bit that real uncle of Tiusiak, that Ilakrak was real sick too. He got him in his arm and he carried him on back. And they went home. And then Ilakrak, after they got home, maybe a couple of 3 hours, he dead. He draw blood. Never know they.
They never know more.
They never. They don't understand why.
Yes.
Anyway, Tiusiak, he didn't get sick. But two men dead. After one of a story.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, Tiusiak says, we saw a man holding with a live whale in that lake. And then we got sick. One of us dead. One third of us dead right there. And then we left it, we turned back. Never watched them anymore, what happened. And then another story from inland people.
Wait, did anything happen to, that was Tiusiak left?
Tiusiak? No, nothing.
Nothing happened to him?
Nothing happened to him. He got sick all right, but he got well quick.
But then he got well.
Yeah.
But nobody knew why those other
people. Nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Okay, next story.
Next story. There's another three men. From inland people. From our country people. Not from Nuoto.
Yes.
Inland people around Colville, around Anaktuvik, the three men want to look up there. All of them, they're Angatkop. Magician men, all of them. One of them named, who want to lead, Kalayauk. I know his son, 1930. 1939, I think he died. I know him. Kalayauk, he's old man, he's a good cook. And Kanak is another one. And Tulukana, the other one. The three of them get together, I'm not cook. Well, let's go up, take a look. Why people never come home? What makes them never come home? Everyone going up since long, long time. Nobody know. No word. Why? Well, they get together and start to climb up on top. When they climb up on top, in the story of that the Tiusiak had a lake in there. Well, they come there real slow. They come near there on top. Just like the hills over here, all around where they were too. Just like the hills around near the lakes. They understand themselves, make out themselves a mind or something, talk about it, and stop a little while. Well, I'm going to lead, Kalayok says. And Kanak right next to him, and Tulukan right next to him. They're holding each other. They start crawling. And Kalayok, he lead. I look myself. See what I see down there. I'm telling you after I see something. Don't look. Just put your head down like that. Just hold me. Right in my pocket. Right in my belt. You fellas are just crawling and just follow me. I was took myself. See what happened. They do. They crawl real slow. Crawling. Finally, leader, Kalayok. Went down right away, dead. And they start tracking back. They turn around, they didn't look down there. They're tracking back down to the land or something like that, you know. They track him down. The farther they don't see it up there, what he sees maybe. He didn't say nothing, he lost consciousness. He breathed a little bit, all right. So, they track him. They track him down there, and they start ametkok to him, you know. And they use evil spirit or something, what they got, and trying to make him come back alive. Huh? And he come back alive. And he look, hey, see what I see? You fella see something? No, we didn't look. Yeah, I look, I say, I was going to look what I can see. I look in there, and finally I see the cliff on the other side of the lake. And full of a bird. A little kittiwake or something like that, a little seagull, something like this. And then they start to fly up. Right away, when I look down there, I see the water a little bit down the other side of the lake. And the lake was just like a mirror, come up like this. And I see something. I went, and then that's all I see. I lost my God. So, they saved him anyway.
They saved him anyway?
Yeah. So they don't try anymore. They just went down there. They went back down to camp.
And that was it.
That's what it. That's all.
Gee.
They don't yeah. Understand what things magic
no
like that, see?
Who could know? It's a magic lake.
Yeah. Here I got the picture and I told another story. About that, the same story, see?
Yes.
Let's see.
Light globe's up.
Oh,
here's one. He's got one.
Yeah, okay. Those bear old timers, they all died, not in one of them alive, except one. This guy here, he's still alive, he's old man now. Peter Sukluk. All these died, here's the guy, he's from Silavik, down near the Kopak River. He's the last one who wanted to look up there.
Is that right?
Yeah. But the other one, I don't have it, the picture.
But he's just the one that that lost consciousness?
No. They don't have a picture.
Don't have a picture.
This one's going to be the last one who wanted to look up there in that same mountain. His name is Long John.
Yeah?
Angutirok. He's from Silavik. He lived in there a very long time. And he died here.
He did?
Yeah. That's the fellow here. That's the people. Well, the first teachers, I guess, that came to Barrow.
Yeah.
Long time ago, 1800. Mm-hmm. And they named him Long John.
Long John.
Yeah.
My, there are a lot of stories in this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this man?
Well, that's the Ray Apayok. He's one of a big, great whaler. He's a good whaler. I seen him, that one. 1925. I seen him up there when he went up with a sailboat.
Oh.
With his wife, with his one adopted daughter.
They came to the Colville?
They came to the Foggy Island, Sawanuktuk River.
Oh.
Yeah, I seen him. I seen the most of them. And this one here, I seen him, a big fella, you know.
Yeah, he looks like a big man.
Yeah. I forget his... Simigluk, I forget his English name. And I seen that one. The father of... this Peter Rickson there. He's still there. Barrow, he's still alive.
What is this picture? Where did the picture come from?
That... one of a doctor's wife, Dr. Christ.
Yes.
First hospital set up in Point Barrow.
Oh.
And then that hospital was the first one burned.
Mm-hmm.
They lost it and then refilled it again, mm-hmm. another one.
Were these people all at the hospital or something?
They go out from the church, Presbyterian mm-hmm. church. And then she took the picture of him.
I see. She took the picture after church.
Yeah, in a small picture. Yeah. We had it in here.
Oh.
And I sent it to a Fairbanks.
Yeah.
In Lodgett.
Yes.
Because they're very interesting people.
My goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Gee, you know, you haven't finished telling me your story. What happened to you? How you came to Barrow? Or how you met your wife?
Oh. Wow.
How many children you have? Gee, I'd like to know more about you, and then maybe if we have time, I'd like to know some stories.
Well,
may I run across the road for just a moment? I need to let someone in the room. Okay. I'm afraid they don't have a key.
I don't think Mr. Sutherland would mind if you come back.
I'll dash right over. I say, if I may, I'd like to let somebody in a room over here. I think I have the only key.
He's got the key.
I'm supposed to meet them at 9:30.
He says he doesn't want to miss anything, but he's going to...
But I'll be right back. You folks go right ahead.
Go right ahead. Yeah, you want to know how you came to
Barrow Village.
Barrow Village?
Yes.
Well, 1 year, 1913, second time I was come to Barrow with my parents, trip to Barrow in dog sled. In summertime with the canoe, came to Barrow. That was the first one. I think I try to figure what year we were came here. The first year I known to Barrow. I think when I was think of it in my imagination or something. Even I don't think of it right. I don't think. Anyway, I say maybe 1908.
You were a little boy then.
Well, I'm not very big that time, you know.
Yes.
And then I know there's a preacher, Dr. Marsh, one of the first, the second from the first preacher come to Barrow, give people religion a story. Tell the people about the God, about the Christ, Jesus Christ, you know. People never know the story about God before. Never know a story about the Jesus Christ, a word. They never hear any story of a Bible, Christianity alive. Never know people. He's the first when the preacher come here and he start to teach the people Christianity life. But people didn't believe it. Nobody believe it. They just fun of him. You talk nothing. You just a sugglor. You lie. We never hear that story. People never know when you start to preach up from the Bible. See, they do. Otherwise, they don't understand very well. Nobody speak much English. They may go to something talk each other in Eskimo. And he started to learn a little bit in his mind how they would talk Eskimo in their own language to him. And he speaks to him, nobody understands him in English. That's how it's hard. That the first preacher came to Barrow.
He had a hard time.
Very hard time.
Sure.
Just people fun of him. They don't believe in his story, you know.
Well, I can understand.
Yeah.
It's a very strange story in its own way, yeah. You know. And it's a very different story
yeah.
to anything here.
Yeah.
The way of life was so different.
Mm-hmm. And then finally people start to understand a little bit what he was saying.
Yes.
You know what? When he was prayer, close his eye, he talked.
Yes.
People look at him right near to him, and what he was doing, what he talked to.
Yes, yes.
Who do he talk to?
They get down underneath him and look back up
and
to take his
face. They look at him. And then pull him right in the noose, you know, and pull him up.
Oh, dear.
Young people, yes. You know, young
yes.
men. They
yes.
do that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Well, he had strength of character.
Yeah, come here.
So, come in and sit down. How did they finally begin to believe? He was telling me about how the first preacher came, and nobody believed him.
Yeah, finally, two ladies, I see them both when I was a little kid. First year, my parents come to Barrow, trip to Barrow in summertime.
Wait, let me tell him. He said the preacher, when he'd bend over to pray, mm-hmm. the young men, they'd come up and they'd grab him by the nose and pull him up to see what it was he was talking, to see who he was talking to, or mm-hmm. to see what was on his face, you know.
Yeah.
So
even some young men, you know, grab him in the hair. Put him up and who you talk in their own language, you know. They don't speak English. Well, I went back to and start talking. Nobody understand who do I talk to. Who he talk to. And they don't know the prayer people, never see the prayer
of
people.
Course not.
No, never
see.
Before. They don't know what he was doing.
It was a whole new idea.
Yeah.
Sure. So then how did they finally get to understand?
Yeah, finally, the preacher was always called two ladies. And he started beginning to understand a little bit what he was talk about, what he was prayer. And preacher start to teach two ladies there, two young ladies, how to pray. Said, my God, Almighty God, my Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. That's all. Two words, that's all he started to teach them how to pray.
Hmm.
And they learned.
Hmm.
And he talked to him in the story. In of the world, you see the fire here in the stove. All the world going to come in fire, and then bad people burn in that furnace fire, something like that. A real hot flame fire burn them. In of the world, and good people. They move to the new country, and they have eternal life.
Yes.
So, two ladies just start think something. Okay. You know how to pray now. Almighty God, I pray for my Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's all. And then they learn how to speak with. They don't speak English.
Yes.
They learn.
They learn those.
They start to use the prayer. The two ladies. they were beginning Christianity start up, and then they talk to the other people.
Yes.
We learn how to pray. We learn a story a little bit about Christianity. And then, people got kind of excited, and some of them, they start believe.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how is the Christianity started a long time ago.
Oh, isn't that something?
1800.
Yes. Yeah. And at that time, your people were living up in the mountains and on the coast, far away. And then you were a little boy, your first trip here.
Yeah.
Did you go to church then, that first trip?
Well, my dad, my mother, they learned quick. People never know about the Christianity life where we live. Nobody pray. Nobody say story about the Bible. Because no white people. Sure. Just all the Eskimos there.
Mm-hmm.
No teachers nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
No storekeepers, no place.
Mm-hmm.
So, when we tripped to Barrow that time when I was a kid, Dr. Mars was a preacher. After that, once the people been learned from the first preacher come, Dr. Mars, he's a preacher that time. And my dad converted to a Christian life right away, and
he
my
did.
Mother.
Is that so?
When they learn, when they hear story from the preacher preaching.
Yes.
He speak good Eskimo.
Aye.
Yeah, he learned.
He learned. To speak
he learned
Eskimo.
The Eskimo language. Yeah,
oh
he speak
my.
Good Eskimo. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So then your parents could understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did that? I was wondering, did that have something to do with your moving to Barrow?
Well, I don't know. My mother got a brother at Barrow.
Oh.
My mother's brother sent the word from troubled people. Come down, see me. I was kind of a start sick.
Mm.
I'm getting worse and worse all the time. You better come down, see me. My sis, that the older brother, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He lived at Barrow long time. Inland men, all right, they've been moved to Barrow long
I
ago.
See.
Yeah.
A lot of inland people began to move out here
mm-hmm.
when that was first
mm-hmm.
built here.
I so? See. They took me into the church.
Mm-hmm.
My parents. And the Dr. Mars gave me a pop dice, you know, in the
mm-hmm.
church.
Mm-hmm.
And then my dad, he's kind of a part of Amitkuk, my dad.
Uh-huh.
So, when he was converted to religion people, the preacher said, don't use Amitkuk anymore. After you converted to a Christian life, don't use anymore Angatkuk life. That evil that when you use clean up the world, you don't get to heaven. You stay down the ground in the fire. You stay down the world here, old world. You'll be on the fire. Don't use anymore the Angatkuk life. Even a song, anything, Angatkuk, the life thing, you know. So, my dad, he did. My mother, I don't think my mother Angatkuk. I never knew.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad, he's not the real Angatkuk, but he sing.
Mm-hmm.
He sing for the animal hunting, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. I learned some of it, my dad, the hunting song. It's one of them. Anyway, I didn't forget it.
Did Dr. Marsh say why not to? Did he say why? Let me see. Was there any special reason that it was bad? Did he explain, talk about it anymore?
Well, did he just explain about the Angatkuk life? Christian cannot use it. Cannot use it anymore. One time, after we went back from Barrow, and then... we go back to the where we live in inland. Then we stayed together, my uncle and I and my aunt, my uncle's wife and my mother and my adopted sister. And they got the three adopted sisters. They don't have, my uncle, they don't have their own children. But they have three adopted children, two girls and one little boy. One little boy, he's still up at Fairbank. That time, his little boy, my uncle's adopted, Harding.
What is his name?
Harding.
Harding what?
Katerok.
Harding Katerok.
Yeah. He stayed up there to Fairbanks. See, I see him every time when I was up there. He's younger than me.
I must have seen
him. Yeah, he's younger than me. Yeah. So, my dad and my uncle planning to go on down to a coast, stay there, trapping for white fox skin. Because no white fox were ever in land. They were trapping white Arctic white fox. Well, trip to a coast, summertime, then come this way a little bit from Colville, at the mouth of Colville, about 50 miles, I think, maybe less than 50 miles. Right near the Eskimo Island, east of Cape Halkett. We placed there, they built a house, 3 foot, and make a big side house, you know. Just one partition, and we stay here on the other side. They stay here on the other side.
I've seen a picture of that.
We got doorway in there. We can go through each other.
I've seen a picture of that house.
Huh?
I've seen a picture of that house.
You did?
I think so. I think part of it is still there.
Well, Janice Diamond, he's from Canada. He's a Canadian man. He's a shorty fella. He stayed there all winter with my uncle and my dad. He started making story of a string from my dad and from my uncle. Then while we were there, before the Jenny Diamond come, the strangers come from east. They pull a sled, they make a sled or something, two wars to tie together, you know, the wars. And two Eskimos from Point Hope. And five, the white man. And in that was a Stephenson.
I was just going to say, that must be Stephenson.
Yeah. And they stopped there in our camp.
Yes.
They were on the canvas tied up with the string, and they ran out. They don't have a muckluck anymore, see. Those are just that came in from the ice. They were expedition.
Yes.
Out in the ice.
1914, yeah. I think that was.
That was in 1913.
1913.
Yeah.
Sure enough. And your dad built that cabin on that island at Cape Halkett, is it? That year? Cape, what is it?
What?
What's the name of that cape by there?
Cape Halkett?
Cape Halkett, yes.
Yeah.
He built that cabin to go fox hunting?
Fox hunting, built a house over here just right in Smith Bay.
Harrison Bay.
There,
yeah. Sure.
On the shoreline. They built a house, my uncle and my dad, they started trapping in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, lots of foxes, they get lots of foxes that time, early in the fall. Only those expeditions come, they stop there. Stephenson, in there, he's a boss. people call him Nechoktitilak. That means measuring a man in scientist's life, you know.
The size of the head?
Scientists there measure the head each people, you know. that's his project, you know.
Yes, he went around measuring skulls. That's right, he sure did.
And then my auntie and my mother, they start right away make the muckluck for them, you know, all of them, and then mitten and socks, careful height, so they can travel. With warm clothing, careful height clothing made. They said they were heading down to Point Barrow. They were going to Point Barrow. But they don't have dog. They have dogs when they were not all died, starved. They don't hunt good to seal, you know, something like that for dog food. Even they were themselves starving. They have some little bit seal meat. They can eat from it. And they stayed here. Was about a week and a half in our place.
Oh, but they were glad to get there.
Oh, yes, Dad and Uncle, my mother and Auntie, they feed them good. Boil a lot of fish and caribou meat and lots of flour in that dough, yeah. And
fed them up a little bit.
Yeah. And then they, one night, Stephenson asked my dad, "I want to learn the hunting song from you. If you charge me, no matter how much, I got lots of money, I'll pay you for one song. If you charge me even $100, or more than $100 for one song, hunting song, I can learn. He speak good Eskimo, but Mackenzie Eskimo style, you know, in Eskimo. But we understand when he talk. Well, my dad tell him, no, I don't think I'm giving you the song in Angatkok hunting song. He wanted to learn hunting song. Why? Stephenson asked me why. Because I've been promised I'm not going to use them anymore when I was converted to the church. And missionary told me not to use in my Christian life no more. Why? I just wonder why. I just wanted the people in old days, they use that kind of life for the help when they're hunting, or help sick people, or help themselves. I don't want them to lost, all of them. I don't want them to forget it. So that's why I'm asking you, I want to learn one hunting song anyway. If you charge me, I'll pay you. My dad keeps saying, no. I don't need the money. It's my promise. I break my promise to, in Christian life, not gonna use it no more, even a song. I'll be lie if I use it one, after I promise.
So
God says not to lie.
That's true.
Yeah. That's what my dad told him.
Yeah.
Yeah, right into his face. Sure. Why, he get mad all right. So he went out to take a bath, you know, outside in the evening. After asking from quite a few times my dad. So, my uncle tell my dad, why don't you sing to him just the story song, not the real one. He pay you. He don't know. You get lots of money, more than $100 one song. You sing to him just a story song. My dad says, no, I can't do that. Because I fool him. If I do, I fool him. Not the real one. When I sing to him and he pay me. I just fool him. I don't want to do that. See how my dad say? He's an honest man.
He was an honest man.
God.
Yeah, he was.
I didn't forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you remember the song, though?
Oh, yeah.
Now, you see, you didn't make the promise.
No.
No.
I've been promised, but it's no power anymore.
No, the song has no more power.
No more power. You got to have a power. You got to have an evil spirit in you. When you use the song, hunting song, I can sing to you one.
You can?
Yeah.
I'd like to. I don't think I've ever heard
that. See that the story? The hunter, when you see the caribou, they were eating over here.
Yeah.
And the caribou started singing, he stopped and then started singing. call the caribou to come. And the caribou did. And they start to get excited and come right to him and start to real fast run, you know, circle around to him, and then he shoot, you know, anything, a poor arrow or something like that, or a rifle, after they get a rifle, you know. Not too old days. Not very old days, you know. So, I can sing to you, my dad used to sing for me sometime. When he tell me sometimes story, you know, the old days, the hunters, in their own evil spirit, they sing to the animal, or to caribou, or a wolf, make them sleep, or bearded seal, good people, make them sleep. Or they wanted some animals, they sing to it and make him dead. Something like that the people had too long ago, you know. So, you sing to me that one song several times, I learned it. I learned quick, you know, when I was a kid. Not now, I don't learn anymore.
I think you're a very slow. Smart man. Yeah. I think you're a very smart man, yes.
So, I can sing to you one.
Let me see how the tape is going. I don't want to run up. I think there's about 3, 4, 5 minutes left.
Yeah. It's a short song, you know?
Yes.
And for the caribou.
To call the caribou.
Call the caribou.
Yes.
Says, don't scared, I was singing. Is that big different than Eskimo songs when they were using the which they were using in their hunting, dancing.
It sounds
real different, isn't it?
It does sound different, yes.
That's one of Angatuk songs, you know.
Oh, you know, that's a beautiful song.
After he started to use his bow, ready to use, caribou started coming real close, a circle around, and he started another different song. For his arrow.
Oh.
For his arrow.
Yes.
So he won't miss. The death.
Yes.
Of a.
So it will go straight right to where he wants it to go.
Go straight the arrow right to the animals and dead. And kill them right off. That the deadly song. Now go on. Begin now we go on. Karwa kanga. Aya kanga. I mean, where I'm gonna make him land my arrow. Right into the dead. I want him. He in a big satkuwa. That means a satkuwa. It's a weapon. Tutkumit. It means a tutkumit. It's a honey land. That means right in the dead. That's it. And he shoot each time. Caribou went down each time. Never missed.
Oh, what great power that must
have. Yeah, that's the two songs.
Oh, those are great songs. How am I doing?
For the one man hunter.
Yeah, I got a little
Many people used the related from my dad. My dad got it from his father. Maybe his father got it from his father. Maybe the other father
coming
also got it from my way
line.
From relation to relation, you know.
Do you sing these songs? Did you sing them for the dances here in Barrow?
No.
In Fairbanks? You don't sing those at dances. No. Oh, that's a great honor to hear those. I appreciate
that. No, I don't sing those because my dad told me, don't use those songs for the man.
No.
Just only to the animals. If you want to try it sometime, just to the animals, not to human. They're real strong, he said.
Oh, I understand. They still have a feeling to them, you know.
But
to hear them, they have a very different feeling.
But he told me anyway. You don't have a spirit to use it.
No.
They don't have a power.
No.
Nothing. Just like nothing. Just a story.
Because the church is everywhere. They're just like a story song now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, because the church has, well, the belief in the church makes that song not have any more power.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful to hear them.
Yeah, in the old days, you know, the people, big different life I know when I was a kid. In a new life, I know both of them. Now when I look back, there's a real hard life. And right now, in your life, we use it now, real easy, very good life. We found out who we are, people know how to live in the old way and the new way.
And the new way too.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, life in Barrow today is very interesting, the combination of the old ways and the new ways.
Yeah.
How many children did you have?
I have 10 children. I lost one.
Oh. But you have 9 here in Barrow? And
yeah. There's a couple of them at Fairbanks, and 2 of them just went out just this afternoon, went out to work to a construction in Frutupe and for oil company. One of them, Guan P. Jr., and one of my son, one of my older son, went up to construction.
Where did your wife come from?
Point Barrow.
She's a Barrow girl.
Yeah.
I see.
I met her up there at the Colville. Ulektuk,
yes.
She went up with the brother, big brother, when she was a young girl. And I was up there dropping on the coast, you know. And I saw her that time at Christmas week when I went to Peachy Point for Christmas celebration. People get together there. I saw her first time. Never seen her before.
Oh. So you came to Point Barrow for her.
And, well, I get around to her a little bit at that time, you know, Christmas week. And then I didn't forget it. She's a nice girl. So she's a real young girl. And she's only 16 years old. And I went there, I was driving there in springtime. I went to the store to see the thing.